Welcome to the Journey to You podcast with Todd Malloy, where we explore inner work, intentional growth, and the courageous honesty that leads to a life worth celebrating. I'm your host, Todd Malloy, and this space is a sacred container for truth, transparency, wisdom, and personal authority. Here, we don't chase perfection. We honor process. We honor becoming. Each episode, we sit with individuals who have confronted their own narratives, dismantled beliefs that keep them small, and made decisions that take ownership of their lives on their terms. Because authenticity isn't a personality trait, it's a practice, and transformation doesn't happen by accident. It happens by intention. Our mission on this podcast is simple: to offer conversation that serves as a mirror for you to reflect on your own life, so that every listener is invited to see themselves in new ways, to disrupt what no longer serves, to stand in their purpose and commit to a path of living a life worth celebrating. If you're ready to learn from lived experience, if you're ready to hear wisdom earned through scars, surrender, and self-honor, if you're ready to grow intentionally, welcome, you're in the right place. This is the Journey to You podcast with Todd Malloy, and welcome to a life worth celebrating. Today is the first episode of a two-part episode, which is entitled, "Will Love and Fear Keep Us Together or Pull Us Apart?" The heart of this episode is centered around a couple, as many, who have built a life together, raising children, achieved personal successes, career successes, growing personally and relationally, yet also having faced seasons where individuals and even the relationship itself becomes lost within the complexity of life through responsibilities, duties, roles, hurts, unspoken hurts, disappointments, and shifting visions. It explores the courageous moment when both partners individually and collectively recognize that the way the relationship has become constructed must change in order for them to survive, heal, and grow. The central question we explore is whether the love that has been shared and the fear of staying home or staying the same will be enough to keep the relationship together, or will it tear it apart? Today, our guests are Kamala and Ryan. And we're going to start off with them, and just really just a little small introduction of just who you guys are, how you've come together, and how long you've been together.
Okay. So my name is Kamala Emmanuel, originally from London, England, currently living in Waxhaw, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Ryan and I have been together 32 years, but been married for 29 and a half years.
Okay, excellent. I believe you just recently celebrated something, an anniversary.
Anniversary is coming up in July. It's going to be 30 years.
Amen. Excellent. Excellent.
I'm Ryan Emmanuel. I'm the husband. I didn't realize it was that long, but we've known each other for a very long time. Amen. We will be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary.
Oh, you made it sound good. You didn't even know it was that long. Excellent. So what was it? What brought you two together?
Oh, my goodness. Short story, I will say, is Ryan and I have known each other since, I was 18. So we met just at an event many years ago when we were childhood teens, I suppose. And we just, over time developed a friendship.
Excellent.
And just stayed in touch. It just wasn't the right season for us then. Mm-hmm. And we just ended up developing a friendship and just stayed in touch, really.
So when did you ultimately proposed to this woman and said you want to make her an honest woman?
Kamala proposed to me.
Oh my
goodness! Yeah. Otherwise, we'll still be dating.
We wouldn't be.
We would still be dating. But to your first question, Kamala, in my eyes, was special from the relationships I'd had previously. And whilst we weren't in a relationship at the time, it was a friendship that I was very keen in ensuring that we remain in touch, even when she moved abroad. And so, as life happens back in the day, it just seemed the right thing to be to do to start dating. So it was a beautiful thing.
Amen.
So yeah, so Kamala proposed to me 30 years ago, and
so how long did you date before you got married?
2 years.
Okay, 2 years. Very good. I'm not going to ask you no more about time. I don't want to get you in trouble later. So, but in the midst of life, you guys had children. I believe you have 2 children. They've gone on. You guys are close to empty nesters, if not empty nesters mm-hmm. now. And you guys came to a point where, like most couples do, that life seemed to be changing. There was within yourself, before you even spoke to anybody else or either one of you spoke to the other one, internally, you were having your own questions, your own challenges. Can you talk a little bit about that and when that started for you?
I'll say, when did that start? I mean, probably, you know, I think you get married and you have kids and then you buy a home or, you know, all the things on the list. And so I don't know if I'd say, I don't know, maybe 10 years in, a decade in, you sometimes start to think, you know, is this it, right? Is this, you're doing the list things and it's more performatory than in a space of really thriving. It's just, this is what you kind of do.
Right, mediocrity, what I call it. It's like, if you feel like you're a hamster on a hamster wheel.
Yeah, definitely the hamster on a hamster wheel.
Yeah, definitely. How about you? Were you experiencing any of those things over time?
I think I was oblivious mm-hmm. to, any deterioration in our relationship, mm-hmm. Just doing. I think we'll more or less probably talk about that even more today, but in just doing, mm-hmm. In everything, totally oblivious to...
The system became more important than the people.
Indeed, indeed.
So it kind of goes back to the next question that says, in what way did survival, responsibility, or just doing what needed to be done shaped how you loved each other and how you began to establish the relationship over time? It just seems to be about roles and duty as opposed to the initial emotional connection that brought you two together. Mm-hmm. How was that a part of yours? How was the survival part a part of yours?
You're not even sure we even realized we were surviving. I don't think we realized we were surviving. There's no manual in regards to how, well, there's plenty of manuals out there in regards to how a successful marriage. However, we didn't read many of them. We just did our thing.
I don't know if anybody teaches us how to live, period. You have parts, I have parts, let's throw them together, hope for the best. The only thing we do really intentionally is professionally, academics. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to our personal life, we're not always intentional. We find ourselves just going through the rut of life and doing the things, and now the things become more important than the people. Mm-hmm. But then we lose sight. But then there comes a point where there's an awareness to say, hey, this construct isn't working and I'm not happy. So then at some point, somebody has to have the courage to say something to the other one.
Yeah. I think Kamala mentioned it many years ago that we should consider therapy. It was just in conversation that we should consider therapy. And
how long in the marriage did this awareness come to? How long did it take to get to this point?
Probably about 10 years in.
Was it 10 years?
Mm.
And so I would just be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the back of my mind thinking, we don't need therapy. And would not broach the conversation any further. Mm. Periodically, it would come back again. We should consider therapy. So, and I was very resistant.
Yeah, but in your resistance, how did you not feel rejected? Because you're saying, hey, I see something you may not see. A bus might hit us soon. But he's saying, yeah, okay, we'll be okay. How was that for you?
I think it was just another form of maybe anxiety from childhood. So how did I feel in terms of rejected? I don't know if the rejection is the word I would use. Mm-hmm. I think it was fearful of what would happen, right?
If we don't,
and not being able to be in control, because I think I lived a life of being in control. And so when there's something that you can't control, then it's like, if it doesn't happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then it becomes a spiral.
So did you begin working on yourself, or did you just ignore it like Ryan did until a later point?
I don't think I ignored it. I've always been an unusual person who's been into self-help. So I've always kind of maybe read books or watched things, and in my head, I mean, I wasn't working in it actively with a therapist, but just trying to do things. Maybe I'd go in a workshop or something to just kind of explore myself.
Yeah, but then it seems to be, to me, that would create a divide between you and Ryan, because now you're growing and you're exploring, you're stimulating avenues of thought, and he's kind of, we'll be okay. So when was that push to say, no, this is what we have to do?
A long time after the 10 years is what I'll say, because we've been in therapy since 2000. So and we've been married for 29 years. So
so that's almost like, 14 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So in fact, we started therapy just before our 25th. So we started therapy at year 24.
It's amazing. Here it is. We raised a flag year 10, but it's 14 years later when we actually do something about it. You could have bled out.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we went to a therapy workshop in 2007, a weekend workshop. We did something then, but that was kind of just a taster. I don't know if we built upon it, really.
Mm-hmm. So that moment of choice came in 2020 for you two.
Yeah.
When I'm assuming you said, hey, we have to do something, or did Ryan just say, hey, okay, he just gave in over time. You wore him down.
You might be able to think of if there was a particular moment.
Yeah, it was around COVID time. And I was at that time working and going into the office. You were at home, and it just got to a point where just it seemed dark, and I was just like, this is something we have to do. Now, the preface to that, I would say, is that Ryan had started therapy himself individually, maybe a year or two before, and I had also started therapy a year or two before individually. And so the person who recommended the therapist that we have, I asked, do they know a marriage therapist? They gave you as a recommendation. They're also a therapist in Charlotte. And so I was like, I've got a recommendation. This is something we're going to have to do it, because I think I was in my mind, and I can't remember if I verbalized it, I said, it's good, but I think I'd love to have a great marriage, not just a good marriage.
So it wasn't as though I wanted to change partner. It was just the way we're doing it doesn't work. And how do I get him to partner with me to change the construct of what we're doing, not feel threatened I didn't want him?
Yeah, it was definitely never about not wanting my husband. I mean, this is my husband for life. I just wanted us to have a great marriage that I felt like we deserved. We just didn't know how.
Hearing when she brought it to your attention, did it cause you any fear, threat, or challenge that she wanted to become brand new or not want to be married to you? Or how did you receive it?
That it crossed my mind that...
I appreciate you being honest.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was before we even actually had... we started having you as our therapist. I remember we were in the parking lot, and I think that this probably was probably a time when we weren't in a good space as a couple. And I asked, which is even crazy thinking about it, I asked Camilla whether she wanted us to end our relationship, and to which she said no. But I was all confused, because the vibes I was getting wasn't very good.
Yeah. You want to change, but when I think of change, I think of changing us, but you want change, but you still want me. I'm kind of confused on what the change is then.
Yeah, definitely a lot of confusion.
What did it take to settle the confusion for you? Continuing to talk to her, or did you have to reconcile it within yourself?
No, we didn't. I don't think it was the talking, because we didn't. Our communication wasn't the best then. It was just very surface level communication, shall I say, that we had. What changed? I think as a situation like that, where that parking lot situation will certainly helped in the decision. For me personally, I can't remember. I don't know what it was that made me say, okay, let's do it. I don't know what it was.
Part of my thinking is that time in the parking lot, if you were really nervous because you wanted your wife, it was, hey, let me do something, at least listen. Because it sounds like for 24 years, you guys chose to some level suffer in silence. And about what was going on with each other. We were having surface conversations. We weren't having the rooted conversations. But it came to the point, whether it's somewhere in year 24, where it said enough was enough. Kamala started saying it in 10. Year 10 kind of did her own thing, but brought it back to a full court press in the car. Mm-hmm. But then once you started the process and you guys began to talk about recreating, how freer was it for you to say, hey, Kamala, what does this look like? What do we want this to look like? How did that help in settling some of the fear, but also recognizing, open to creativity, to the possibilities that were ahead of you?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sash, but We didn't even talk about what it was gonna look like.
What it could look like.
It was just a case of, all right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think with our backgrounds and to interrupt childhoods, it's like, I don't think there was the language to say, like when you mentioned suffering in silence. I mean, we're just getting along. You got kids that keeps you busy, so you're not even. Every now and then you might think about it, but there's always a distraction, right?
Correct.
I think timing also helped in terms of probably maybe the ages of, you know, our kids at the time. I think we just did not have the language to articulate it in that way, to think, okay, what could possibly be, if we try this, what could, you know, the greatness that would come out.
Yeah, what excites me is the language. First of all, you both have eloquent, you know, British voices. However, but you're both very educated, and as far as society is concerned, you're the talented 10th or the top tier. And you mentioned you had a hard time communicating. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. To be as educated, college educated, professionally educated, trained, and talk about communication, saying it out loud. How was that for you?
I think, you know, Ryan and I've talked about this, you know, culturally, we have, you know, Caribbean background. There was communication that's never been modeled, I can say, in my own upbringing, in a way to understand how to communicate, right? I mean, communication is typically, for me, the modeling was if someone does something that's disapproval, then there's an icing out. So there's never a resolution. How do you come together? How do you deal with conflict management? So, I mean, we never even had a conversation of how do we communicate with each other?
Excellent. So then you come to therapy, you meet me, and then I start to challenge the two of you. And I like that little giggle. I won't ask what that's about. But then I'm challenging you to talk, but I'm also challenging you to tap into yourselves and to begin to form language and begin to determine how you want to communicate and create your own unique language. How was that for you two?
Well, I think it helped that we both had individual therapy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say for me, I found your style very direct in the beginning. Even though I'm a direct person, it was a little bit of an ouch. And so it was good I had my therapist as well. That was just me. I mean, so, mm-hmm. you know, so she was working on me, helping me with my communication. And honestly, the communication wasn't really a rhyme thing. It was just a build up of things that prevented me from really communicating.
Mm-hmm. Life.
Yeah.
Right. How about yourself, sir?
I was resistant. I was just doing it. I was in therapy. I was in marriage therapy to keep the peace. So I was very resistant. And what you had to say, I was very resistant. I was just doing it to keep the peace. And then it was one of our sessions where I felt, okay, this is actually not too bad. And it wasn't long. It wasn't long, but I do recall the first couple of sessions. I guess I had this wall up. But then I guess when I brought it down and I actually gave it a chance, I could see the benefits.
All right, excellent. How did that, and as you guys began to talk, as you began to connect to yourselves, understand your own truth, and begin to feel comfortable sharing it with your partner, how was that for you? How was that transition from having a wall, lowering your wall, but then being able to have the deeper conversations with your wife? What was that like for you?
Oh, man, it was revealing. Mm-hmm. It was so revealing.
And when you say revealing, I'm saying in a good way. Or maybe not a good way.
In a good way. it was in a good way. What came out wasn't, the stuff that came out wasn't good, but just the fact that we got to that space.
Right.
That we could think, okay, this is the crap that's been going on. This is why we've been doing what we've been doing. And despite Kamala and I having known each other for so long, we realized how much we didn't know of each other, you know? And it was just very revealing.
What was that like for you to reveal, as Ryan said, hey, I've been with this man for a long time. And now there's a lot, there are pieces to him. He doesn't know about me, but there are pieces I don't know about him. How shocking or earth-shaking was that for you?
Oh, it was an awakening, is what I'll say. Definitely revealing. I would say understanding. I felt more connected. There's so much I could say in terms of the unfolding and unpacking and learning of my husband that has just, you know, answered so many questions, but just understood him.
Well, does that mean make him more attractive, bring him closer to you, and enhance the emotional connection for you?
I would say enhance emotional connection. I mean, you know, my husband, and it's also a reminder, has our friendship was the root from the beginning, and somewhere along the line, you know, maybe that wasn't there as much. And, mm-hmm. you know, to have my friend is my heart, really. So it's like,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. How's it to hear that? After all these years, she looked at you and she said, you're her heart.
I'm very blessed.
Amen.
I'm very blessed.
Excellent. So now you begin to talk, you hear of how you got to where you are. But now there comes in a point of where we have to integrate and align ourselves with each other and the hard conversations and the truths that we have to share. What was that like for the two of you? Okay, now we said the bathwater is dirty, but now we obviously recognize we want it, so we got to rinse the tub out, rinse ourselves off. But what do we want this to look like? How do we begin to hear each other so we don't go 14 years of not hearing each other? Mm-hmm. How do we now integrate this? How do we now tell our truths so we can create this field of possibilities going forward?
I think that's ongoing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's ongoing, Todd, because of you. Mm-hmm. I think during our revealing, you know, we and I think we mentioned this in during one of our sessions, the amount of lost years we've had in our relationship.
Right.
So whilst we're under the one roof and from the outside looking in, it's everything is rose. We've got two educated children, we're educated and together and I've got a beautiful home and everything. But for me, it was just really, I think I was disappointed with myself in the amount of years that I'd lost in this marriage, and disappointed knowing that those years could not be
reclaimed,
you know. And the loss in the and the lost years is in everything, the marriage, the raising of our children, just in everything. That was that. I think that's what hurts more than anything else is the lost years. And so how did we lose years? We lost years through conveniently getting ourselves keeping ourselves busy in work, or in our pastimes, in our hobbies, but really not really
focusing on what's important. Hearing Ryan share that, what's going on inside of you?
No, I mean, I think that's accurate. I think it was, I can, for myself, easy to hide behind parenting. So, I mean, you know, kids will keep you busy and, you know, just somebody who overachieves. So, you know, the kids ruin everything, you know, all the activities, the schools, da, da, da. And so there's not a lot of time to have to sit down to engage because there's so much busyness. Mm-hmm. And so I think, so part of that, as you know, they kind of get older and, you know, the first one moves away to college and so on. It's, you look around and you're like, okay, the next one is going to be behind and it's going to be you two.
Right.
And so
you got to do something.
Yeah, definitely.
So how has the journey invited each of you to become more aligned internally and relationally as whole people, not just as partners, such that you don't repeat the patterns of old?
So I would say for me, there's been a revelation of the depth of our brokenness, and our brokenness, you know, comes way before Kamala and Ryan getting married. Right. So we just had a history of wounds from childhood that we, you know, unwittingly, you know, unhealed, brought into our marriage.
We all do.
And so, you know, had kids and so they just showed up. I mean, nobody even prepared us for how they were going to show up. They just showed up and you don't know what to do when they show up. And so now with the revelation and obviously through individual therapy, but more importantly through marriage therapy, I think there's been a reflection in the work we're doing with you to look at ourselves and the patterns that we may be creating or not creating. And so that has helped us to be more intentional about what is it we want for ourselves together. I mean, you've given us some tough challenges. And so there's a more of an alignment of, first is a recognition and honesty of, yep, there were lost years, but then it's like, what do we want together? And recognizing the areas that you can easily hide in. When honestly, we both want the same thing.
Excellent.
You know, I was just thinking about one of the sessions that we had. Because we're talking about communicating, and it's how we communicate. And during our sessions, despite all the years I've known Kamala, there's a certain way spoke to her. I still do it to this day, actually, if I'm honest, where I have a tendency of looking away when she's speaking, and that is something that's one of her triggers. And with all the years I've known her, I never knew that. And it was during one of our sessions that you will recall, where she got so emotional. It was an emotion that I've never seen before. that really made me sit back and think, oh, okay, this is some serious shit. I had to correct myself and do better in that. And so whilst that's one of her triggers, I have a trigger as well in the way Camilla would speak, and if that wasn't done, if it wasn't spoken a certain way, I would put a wall up. And to as Camilla mentioned earlier, it all goes back to our childhood.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, people fail to recognize that we're all pre-programmed, and unless we're intentional as adults to deprogram ourselves and really live our own life, we will be living a pale existence. So as you two are coming aligned and as you're seeing Ryan shift and adjust, how is that for you to see the shift?
I mean, I know that he wants to do it. I know that he cares. I mean, there's so many things. I know that it's not easy, but he's trying. Mm-hmm. And he's just not going along to get along.
How does that help in him being attractive to you?
Even more so.
Come on, tell the truth.
I mean, just, you know, the connection, even more so. Mm-hmm. There's no angst for me. And so I'm just able to kind of breathe and just lean in.
Amen. How is it to hear that? That she still sees you like Idris.
You left me speechless there. I was gonna say something about Eldris, but I like him. I like him as an artist. I'm just gonna keep that there. I think as the years of therapy have continued, I'm slowly but surely getting to understand Camilla better in regards to her wants and needs. And what I have realized is some of them are not even that complicated. Some of them are, some of her wants and needs are what anybody would really want, really, because of you. They're not that complicated.
Mm-hmm. That means that now you're learning to love her better.
I hope so.
Amen. So now, but you still haven't addressed, how is it to know after 32 years of being in a relationship to you, she finds you more attractive? Now, the smile looked good. I know the smile says something positive.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that she's, because I appreciate that my wife still finds me attractive, because I certainly find her attractive, and because she is. And I'm just grateful.
Yeah. You know what it is? I'm pressing you a little bit. Men don't like to know that they can't tell anybody they would like being wanted and desired. Yeah, no, but I just want to let you know you are wanted and desired, partner. Yeah,
I'll take that.
Excellent. So what would you share as far as wisdom you would share with other couples that were in your situation and people in long-term relationships and that are wrestling? What are some of the advice and wisdom that you would give them about challenging themselves to move forward as their authentic self?
Oh, I would say, you know, it's an evolving thing. And so it starts with who are you, right? Learning who you are. I think sometimes we take a role, you get married and you think it's supposed to be this, this, and this, and this, particularly if you haven't had that modeled necessarily before you. So you don't really know. What does success look like?
When your point is who are you, basically without name, role, or title.
Right.
Okay, strip yourself of all of the bells and whistles and what is the internal part of you? What is that nor of you, and what is that?
And what I will say is that I probably had no idea who that was when I got married. And so it's not just about the other person. It's like, who are you? Spending some time knowing that, understanding that, being that,
right.
And your enoughness. And so if you kind of lead from that place, then you're gonna go through trials, right? I mean, it's gonna happen. It's life.
But when you identify yourself, you're going through it with an awareness, which makes it easier.
and not being afraid, right? I mean, we're talking about to this point, and you know, I'm not trying to speak for us both, but I think I can say that there's been such a benefit from us, and now we're at this coming up to 30-year mark. Imagine if we'd had this 15 years ago, right? So it's again, to me, just like when I work with young people, you're wanting to reduce things that they're having to experience. Instead of waiting 20 years, maybe you only, you know, maybe it's 7, it's 5.
Amen.
It's inviting this in early, not because you're broken or anything's wrong. It's normal, right? So it's like normalizing the having a professional to help guide you through, you know, Ryan and I mentioned communication, I think I would say is probably the biggest thing, not knowing how to communicate. And so imagine if we'd kind of learned that early on.
Exactly. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. I would say to a couple, whether they're new in the game or deep in the game, to, and if they're in a position where they're having obstacles or challenges, my advice would be to see whether you've exhausted all possibilities to rekindle that love that you once had. So what do I mean by exhausting all possibilities? Have you exhausted all your dinner dates? Have you exhausted all your date nights? Have you exhausted your days and nights of communicating? Have you explored therapy? If you haven't explored therapy, why not? How much do you know about your partner? So it's continuously asking yourself questions to each other. And personally, have you done as much as you can to make this relationship work?
Yeah, I like what you're saying, because both of you really, because this is gradual, it's an intentional move. But one of the beautiful things that you both have shared and you were just sharing is that it's a continuous gradual, because things are always changing. Unfortunately, when we meet someone, we canonize them. And we say, okay, this is who the person is, failing to recognize every day, every moment, something is changing. So to your point, we do have to check in. Who are you today? Is blue still your favorite color? Do you still like Brussels sprouts? Our bodies are changing. Do you want to make love the same way? But we should be consistently asking these types of questions. Why? Because we're always being brand new. And if we're not, it's easy to fall apart. So I thank you both so very much for what you shared. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your continued success. First of all, whether it's good, bad, or different, I'm proud of you both. Okay. And most importantly, I want you to be proud of yourselves, because you were willing to take a chance that a lot of people aren't. I was told many years ago, the biggest enemy we have is the enemy in us. But once we're willing to face that demon, every other one is easy. Because once I know who I am, it's very easy for me to know what actions and behaviors best serve me. Because once I know who I am, I don't go where I'm not supposed to. Make sense?
Yes.
Thank you again, and I appreciate your time. So, without further ado, I would like to just leave the audience with a moment of reflection and invitation. As you've listened to today's conversation, I invite you to slow down and reflect, not on what's right or wrong about the relationship or in your relationship, but what's right. That's what I want you. What's true for you? This episode is not only about marriage and partnerships, It's about how life, responsibilities, and survival can slowly pull us away from ourselves and from one another when we stop living intentionally. As you listen, consider these reflections. Where in my life or relationships have I been functioning but not fully present? What part of me has been silenced, postponed, or sacrificed to keep everything moving forward? A lot of us do that. Am I choosing my current pattern out of love or out of fear of change? Lastly, what would it look like to intentionally recreate this season of my life rather than just endure it? This episode reminds us that healing doesn't begin with blame, it begins with awareness. And growth doesn't require perfection, only the courage to choose alignment over autopilot or mediocrity. As you reflect, ask yourself gently, keyword gently, what intentional choice could I make today to move? What intentional choice could I make today that moves me closer to a life and a love worth celebrating? Take what resonates, leave what doesn't, and remember, this journey is not about fixing your life, it's about finding you and living a life worth celebrating. Bye for now. Thank you so very much.